Hi, Rebecca Zlotowski. So you're here with your new film, V-Privy,
Yes.
Private Life. What did you inspire to this absolutely weird mix of genre? It's a psychological thriller. It's a comedy. It's also a mystery thriller, a crime film. So
yeah,
all
it's
together.
Weird, isn't it? Actually, I didn't want it to be so blended, but it's just that if you follow organically, loyally, your characters, it just happens, it becomes that. And also the audience is such an adult audience right now. And I feel I'm the same. So first it had to be, the character was like this amazingly interesting and control freak that would open herself. So Lilian Steiner, didn't write it myself. It was Anne Berest, the co-writer. And then eventually, like if you follow what happens to her, I really wanted it to be like a remarriage comedy. And she goes to, it started like a Jewish joke, but then finally she sees like her ex, and then the ex and her, like something happens. And it's just at the end of the day, you had like so many genres, but like life itself. So I felt that it was like maybe time for us, like as director, like for directors to have the responsibility to offer like, yeah, maybe multi-layered, you know, films. And I love that kind of films. I love it like when I see, I don't know, like the Paul Thomas Anderson movies, and you don't know exactly what it is, but it's just that you take a character from here to there. It's not like the same here, but Hitchcock as well. So I'm sorry, I'm just answering very, very long, but there's the answer to your question. But it was a pleasure to do that.
You already mentioned Hitchcock, and your film was compared a lot to Hitchcock. Was he actually an inspiration?
No, I mean, like it's too much. It's too much when you put that like in a, like that. It's just that when we have witness, like the pleasure of following like an investigation, and also like the unconscious, like in Spellbound, that is like, you know, the subject of the film, it reminds us of Hitchcock. When we have the pleasure of the chase, it reminds us of Hitchcock, that's all. And of course, I'm a Hitchcock lover. It's just that like I know no filmmaker that would not be, you know, a student of Hitchcock. So, but that's it. I would say that the trilogy of Woody Allen, like from Murder Mysteries, like Manhattan and Alice and Another Woman, would be more impactful, like for references in the film.
You have Jodie Foster as lead actress. How do you connect to her work, and where did you get to know her and get her for the role?
I've been knowing her like for such a long time, like as a fan, as a cinephile, as a filmmaker, and I could say like as a woman as well. And she, here in France, we had like, of course, like in every country, we know her like from the action movie to even the smallest one, because we had like the, I remember like the first encounter with her films were Foxes from Adrian Lyne, which is like a movie that I think she doesn't like, by the way, but was super important to me. Hotel New Hampshire and so many other films. I think that she encapsulates like the kind of actresses that never like built herself in the eyes of only men. And so she was precious to me for that. And I could not even know why she was so precious to me, but it was it. And then eventually I had the opportunity like to send her the script. I knew it's been 15 years. Huh? I've been trying to work with her, but then it was time. It was the good. It was the momentum.
Was her role written with her in mind?
Yeah, to me, yes. Anne Berest, who's the co-writer, the co-writer of the film, sent me a script that was like 40 pages with a character. It was called Lilian Steiner. So the name of the character, it's not fake modesty to say that, but everything was here, but it was not funny. It was super traumatic. It was like, there were not this levity that you can have like in the film. And it became interesting to me as soon as I noticed that it could be a part for Jodie Foster. So then we rewrote entirely for her, for this American psychiatrist that would be settled in Paris. It became something like totally for her.
The main subject of your film is also psychology, since Jodie Foster plays a psychologist. What does that subject of psychology mean for you?
It doesn't mean anything. It's just a super, it's a beautiful playground. It's a perfect place for a director, for a filmmaker, delve and to two things that I love about that is that psychanalysis and cinema were born together, like actually like in the same years. And there's like a friction, a stimulation in between it, those two fields. So you say the same words, even like there's a séance, you project. So it's odd the way they communicate. So it's super interesting like for a filmmaker. And then I like when people are silent in the place, but they are the heroes. I love the fact that, you know, usually when someone speaks, talks in a scene, you're like, okay, this is the main character. But when you're a psychiatrist, it's the person who's mute, who doesn't say one thing, that is like the protagonist. And I really loved that. Like, what the fuck is happening in her life? What does she think when you talk? Is she crying like there's like an hors-champ, like the obscene of it that was super like intriguing and transgressive.
Psychology starts to get exposed as a fake science, and you link it to magic and mysticism, which is an interesting connection. I would not say fake science.
I would say because I believe in psychanalysis. I totally, I truly believe that it can cure, but I believe also that it cannot cure.
Do you believe it cures like a placebo or like a real medicine?
Oh, you mean like psychanalysis or...
Exactly, psychoanalysis.
No, I think it's a real science. I think that we are like we demonstrated that the brain is just like made of traumas and that images and the words and language is probably like a possibility to cure ourselves and speaking and stuff. So I totally believe in that. Didn't work on me, but I totally believe in that. I would say that I'm much more suspicious on alternative medicines like hypnosis and stuff, which is like the opposite to my scriptwriter. My writer was like totally into past lives and like regressive quantic experiences and stuff. And I'm like totally not into that, but not into that because it's been like the second film I'm doing on that. So obviously I'm really trying like to get connected to that.
Because you have a scene that goes back into what could be a past life.
Absolutely. That's like the center of the film. So obviously I feel that probably I'm just digging. I'm just trying to believe. I feel cinema helps me to connect with those kind of things that I don't allow myself to live in my real life.
A flashback scene about the supposed first life goes back into the Nazi era. What does this time connection mean for you and the Jewish faith?
It doesn't connect to Nazis, but to French occupation. Yeah, but in an interesting way, because like it's really like a French history. Like literally, like all the costumes are like, you know, the French police. And there's like a couple of Nazis in the audience. Like, that's true. I feel that it was super important that Lillian Steiner, as this American, de-Judaized in a way, like so many Americans that never experienced the burden of the extermination of the Jews in Europe, that she would be reconnected despite herself, malgré elle, that she would be reconnected to this identity and this trauma. Even if she didn't even know she was, that her bones had like something to do with that. And I felt it was like interesting, but also funny because like this image of her son, like as a Nazi, like was hilarious to me. And especially because it's Vincent Lacoste, who's the cutest and sweetest person in the world and has no meaningness at all in the body. So I felt it was like the fucked up situation of this dinner, the family dinner would be... more like the stakes would be like up with that. And also to say something with like, yeah, the fact that when you're Jewish, like you cannot escape this collective trauma.
You have an amazing cast, including Daniel Auteuil, Virginie Efira, even Weissman in a little cameo.
Yes.
So how did you get them all?
Aurore Clément and Irène Jacob. How did I do that? It's just that I really, really love them. And there's no cynicism in the way I approach them, I feel. The fact that I feel that probably like the actors, when they're super famous, they know when you come to them because you want like something commercial. And they know when you know exactly why they're designed for this part. And then when you have Jodie Foster in the cast, they're like, yes. I'm doing it like right now. She's a perfect vehicle to create the desire also for the rest of the cast and the necessity for me to have this strong cast. Because in front of her, you need people that are like confident, people that the audience will never forget. And not only seeing at Jodie Foster, but seeing like the entire cast and the entire characters. This is an ensemble. So it was like all intricating and connected. And you should ask them. I don't know why they said yes, because it's not the money for sure.
If you have iconic actors in your cast, does it limit your directorial freedom or extend your directorial freedom?
I would never know. I would feel that I feel free. I feel free and I feel like and in this cast, like I meant even like totally free, so for sure. But then there's something different with this cast is that they're not only like legendary actors and like famous actors, they're also directors. And I would say that the interesting like conversation and sometimes maybe feeling like stressed by something would be because they are directors. Like Daniel Auteuil is a director, Mathieu Amalric is a director, Jodie Foster is a director, even Louana Bajrami, the daughter of Mathieu. She's the director as well. So this is something that can sometimes like you feel you can't fuck it up because they know exactly what you're doing.
It's the second time you work with Virginie Efira. What made you cast her again for a lead role?
Because I love her. Because I'm not done with her. And I literally like try to find the character for her in the film. Maybe I wrote it like thinking of her and like extending a bit the character because it could be just a ghost. It could be just like an absence in the film. But I really, really wanted like to, as long as I was like, okay, this is going to be like Virginie I really wanted to film like those face-à-face with Jodie Foster. I wanted Jodie Foster to be like behind Virginie and listening to her secrets and fantasies and stuff. And also it was interesting to me, in order to create this character that is so dark and possibly dark, to have like someone so the opposite, because it could create like even narratively a thriller plot. Like people would be like, it's not possible. She could not commit suicide. This is Virginie Efira. She's so solaire. She's so sensual. She's so full of desire and life.
Do you already have a new work you're working on?
I'm shooting right now a TV series on fashion and cosmetics and makeup and hairstylist, Glam Squad. But then I will go to sleep for a couple of months.
So no feature film project
no,
at the moment?
Not yet.
Okay, thank you so much, Rebecca Sutowski.
Thank you.